Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys have agreed to terms.
Wow.
Tomorrow was the deadline. They had to franchise him if they didn't come to a deal. Now, they could have kept negotiating. But Jerry Jones caves and Dak Prescott, who even I don't think is a top five quarterback, toward the end of the top 10, maybe, gets 4 years, $160 million, a record $126 million guaranteed, no tag, so they can't franchise tag him after this deal, and no trade. Those are two clauses he had. So if you were thinking, well, they'll sign him and trade him to Seattle for Russell Wilson, not if Dak doesn't want to. So Dak Prescott, hey, he bet on himself, and he won. So we're going to get into that real strong. You'll hear Rob Parker's thoughts in a moment. What's up, brother? How are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I am great, man. I am great. And we'll get into that. We'll get into NBA All-Star Weekend. So much stuff to talk about. But let me welcome in the Odd Couple crew. Of course, DJ Alex Tyshirt, a.k.a. Alex the Vegan on the ones and the twos on this Magic City Monday. And super producer Rob G in full effect. And on the updates, that's right. When you hear that corny, hey, you know who it is. It's our man, Brian Finley. All right, Rob, let's do it. Your thoughts on Dak Prescott's deal?
Typical Jerry Jones. He always caves in the end, which I don't understand. He could have done this last year if he was going to do the contract. It makes no sense to me. If I'm the only person who should be upset is Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes signed a contract where he only got $63 million fully guaranteed. Dak will earn $66 million to sign Chris and $75 million over the first 3 years. I mean, the money difference is outrageous as far as the guaranteed money. 126 to 63. But Dak won. I mean, Jerry did this with Ezekiel Elliott, you know, to hold out. And then what did he do? He rolled over, gave him the richest contract ever for a running back. And here he is with a quarterback who, I'm with you, it might not even really be in the top 10 or top 8. But it's about when you get paid and when you sign. And either you have to make a deal. If they just signed him to another franchise tag, they would have had to pay him how much this year? $42 million?
$37.7 million.
Yeah, yep. You want to pay $38 million either way. And then you'd have to kick the can down to one more year if you wanted to keep him. This is what should have been done 2 years ago rather than now. And coming off a major injury, I find this to be shocking. But it is Jerry Jones, so it's not shocking from Jerry Jones' standpoint. He's paid everybody. Everybody who's gone to Dallas has gotten paid. Big time.
Yeah. Look, I'm with you, Rob. They should have done this not last year, 2 years ago. Here's the thing with Jerry Jones. He's a horrible poker player. A horrible poker player. God bless you if you see yourself sitting across the table from Jerry Jones and all the chips are in the middle of the table. I'm serious. Because that's what he's done. He has known, Rob, all along, he's had to, that he wants Dak back, that Dak's his guy. And he was betting on Dak crumbling. That's all. That's the only explanation. That's it. And he's the same thing he did with Ezekiel Elliott.
Same exact thing. That's right? What I'm saying. Same exact
thing. He's betting on them crumbling. And look. And you got to say this about Dak for all his flaws. This speaks to what I've always said about him and why I like him, even for some of his physical deficiencies as a quarterback, I think he's very strong mentally. I think he's got character, high character. I think he's a leader. He believes in himself. You know, all these intangibles we always talk about. He has them, and I think he showed it in this, Rob. I mean, he believed in himself to the very end. And to do that, you got to be willing to take a risk. You got to be willing to walk away and lose. If you lose, if you gamble and you lose, you got to be able to live with it. And he was, apparently. And as you said, like, Jerry Jones, we all know the contracts just keep going up and up and up. The only saving grace for Jerry Jones, Rob, is that the new TV deal is coming up, what, Rob G, next year, next summer, the summer after that? In 2 years, the new TV deal. And it's going to be bananas. That's the expectation. The salary cap's going to skyrocket. And this $40 million a year for Dak Prescott won't seem like that. But that's always the case. Remember when Jimmy Garoppolo signed? It was like, what? The richest quarterback deal ever? The richest NFL deal ever off 5-6 games?
Especially since he hadn't played any games, really. Right. Not enough to really.
He had played five games with them.
Warrant that contract, right, at the time.
But now that doesn't seem like a, you know, that seems like a bargain. And this will, too, eventually, when the new deal kicks in. But here's the thing, Rob. Dak and his people knew that. That's what they were banging on. And I bet you that's what they were telling Jerry Jones. Look, oh, yeah, you're looking at it now. It looks like we're breaking you, and you're not going to have any room for anybody else. Look, that TV deal's coming up in short order, and this won't be anything. We won $160 million. Good for Dak Prescott.
Well, you also got to know who you're dealing with, and Jerry's a pushover. Jerry has been a pushover. Everybody that seems to come through Dallas gets big money. It doesn't mean they win. They haven't won anything in 25 years, but he does. Yeah. They know to go to Jerry and just wait. Ezekiel Elliott went to Mexico, came back chunky, hadn't been the same since, Chris, but he got paid.
Yep.
Got paid,
yep.
And this is what Jerry does instead of dealing with stuff in front of him, which he could have done a couple years ago. He for whatever reason, he plays hard to get, but in the end, winds up being a pushover. So the Cowboys, if you're going to keep them, I guess you can't kick it down the road again, because it's $38 million this year no matter what. And then he just
next
figured, if I'm paying,
would have been $54 million.
That's right? What I'm saying. And you're getting him for $42 million, right, over 3 years.
Right.
So if you average that out, it's probably a little less than if you did pay $38 million and $52 million.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing. Their only option at this point was start all over. That was it. They would have had to start all over. Remember, all these guys they've paid. You didn't pay Ezekiel Elliott to start all over. You know, you didn't pay your wide receivers to start all over. Your defense. I mean, they paid a lot of guys. And so they had no choice, and Dak knew it. And again, he was a better poker player. What it tells you, Rob, is Jerry Jones, when it comes to winning, when it comes to building a team, he doesn't know what he's doing.
No, and we've seen it time and time again. This is so Dallas Cowboys, so over the top. Like, did you really have to do that?
Absolutely.
Do you know what you're doing?
What would he have gotten 2 years ago, Rob? At most, $30 million a year, at most. He might probably would have been in the 20s, maybe. I mean, this is unbelievable. And look, again, I'm happy for Dak, and I kind of feel like they had to do it. Jerry, we know, wants to win a championship, and I like Dak. I like, you know, I don't have to mention all the intangibles I think he has. He did beat Russell Wilson in a playoff game. He has won more games in his first three or four years than anybody other than Tom Brady and Russell Wilson. But he's been – I can't act like he's been great the last couple years. And, you know, last year those numbers look gaudy on paper. But we know a lot of them came with Dallas down big. And so Dak's got a lot to prove. And, you know, Jerry, though, this was such a bad deal of negotiating. And as I said, Rob, it's not even like you can say, well, they signed him and they got intentions. Maybe they could trade him to Houston for Deshaun Watson. No, they can't. Because I'm sure Dak doesn't want to go to Houston to play for that mess. So just good job by Dak. Horrible job by Jerry Jones. And this is it. But they had to do it, Rob. They had no choice.
No, he would. They had to make something happen. Otherwise, as we talked about it, it's only going to cost you more. So Jerry waited till the last second, as he did before. We saw that even with Emmitt Smith during the heyday.
Yep.
Emmitt Smith got him, you know, got Jerry as well. Yep. And I'm just blanking. The receiver who came in the trade from the Raiders.
Amari.
Amari got paid.
Yep, yep.
He hadn't lived up to those numbers, Chris, that contract. Nah. But he got paid from Jerry, too.
Right. And that's my point is that, you know, you didn't pay all these guys to start all over. And again, Dak knew it, you know? And so give Dak credit and his representation. And you're right. I mean, look, I love Pat Mahomes, and he wants to win, and he took less money. It's not even the less overall money, but just the less, the $63 million guarantee.
Ridiculous.
You know, that's half. I mean, yeah, if he gets all of his money, that'll be fine, $500 million.
But he should have gotten way
but
more
he
guaranteed.
Yeah, yes. That exactly. And even if, look, he wanted to do the team a solid, I don't know what the implications were for the cap or whatever, but you still could have got more guaranteed.
That's all I'm talking about. Right. Out of that contract, he should have gotten more guaranteed money. Not 63 the day he signs and Dak is signing the day he signs. I mean, the day he signed, Mahomes, Chris, got 10, and Dak is signing and getting 66 the day he signs.
Yep.
That's there a huge is. Amount of
and
money.
He hasn't
in the
done
NFL.
Half. No. He hasn't done half of
not
what
close. Not
Pat
close.
Mahomes has done. Yeah, not even close to half. And so another fortunate thing for the Cowboys, but these things can change quickly, Rob. And Washington, if they get a quarterback, they could actually be a pretty good team. That division, they're lucky they're in that division right now. New York Giants, who knows what they are? Philadelphia, who knows what they are? Washington, who knows what they are? We know what these teams are. They're not very good. Washington's got that defense, but that's about the only, you know, guiding light, the only bright light in the whole division. So Dallas certainly has a chance to win in that division. But this is embarrassing for Jerry Jones, Rob. It is
Jerry at his worst. And you just keep saying to yourself, can it get worse? Yes. Who did we have on the other day? The Randy Mueller, the executive who said he didn't understand what was going on, right? Remember about the whole Dak Prescott?
Right, right.
Like this doesn't make any sense why they didn't sign him 2 years ago and the price doesn't go down, Jerry. It only goes up. So what are you waiting
for? What are you waiting
for? If he's your quarterback, that's why I always questioned it because it didn't make sense to me. If he's your quarterback, you should have signed him as soon, Chris, as you were eligible to sign him.
Yep.
If he's your guy.
Because you know, if we know, then you know the price doesn't go down. You know the quarterback
it's
contracts
your business,
are going up
right.
every year. And you know it doesn't matter your ability.
It has nothing to do with it.
If you're a legitimate, like, franchise quarterback, you might not be a star, but you're a guy, okay, we're going to build around him. Then you're getting paid. He's not better than Deshaun Watson. He's making more money. That's it. And so bad job by Jerry Jones. Good job. Great job. Terrific job by Dak Prescott.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, things are starting to trickle out about the contract. And our buddy, friend of the show, Charles Robinson from Yahoo, has tweeted out some details that shed a little more light on it. Rob G, go ahead.
Yeah, he has an interesting thread on his Twitter account, at Charles Robinson. But perhaps the most interesting, two things here. The cash flow for Dak's deal inside the first 15 months is $106 million when you account the franchise that he got. Which means his three-year cash flow from last year to this next 2 years will be $29 million more than Pat Mahomes in the first 3 years deal. But here's something that'll really blow your socks off. You know, Pat Mahomes got that $500 million contract that everybody was so excited about. If this goes as planned, according to Charles Robinson, Dak will be back at the negotiating table for his next extension in 3 years after the TV and the gambling money has kicked in. Which means he should be on course to be the highest earning player in NFL history.
But this is this. We talked about this. Why the Mahomes deal looked good, like just the numbers, but the guarantees weren't where they should have been. And this is going to hurt him long term. And it's unbelievable that a guy like Dak will actually, you know, lap him. Chris, you know what I mean?
You like know, and obviously Pat Mahomes, you know, wanted to take less money to help them sign more players, and that's his prerogative for sure. We saw Tom Brady do it year in, year out. But, Rob, a lot of this, I'm looking at the agent. And I know the agent works for the player, so I don't know if Dak strong-armed him and just said, get it done or whatever. But this is kind of a tale of two agents. Who are the agents, Rob? You get their names for us if you can. Todd France for Dak. But Lee Steinberg, who's a very, you know, good agent, reputable agent. Maybe he was just moving off what Pat Mahomes wanted. But this is one guy. Todd France did his thing. He did his thing. And Dak Prescott is going to be benefit greatly from it. And like I said, good for him. And we'll see, Rob. Look, like I said, they got a bad division. I do think there's some talent there. You know, 2 years ago, I picked them to go to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Others picked them to go last year. So there's some talent there. And I do think Dak is a good quarterback. But they better deliver. That's all there is to it, because they got a long way to go. All right, speaking of doing this thing, Rob, I thought the star of NBA All-Star Sunday, which I enjoyed thoroughly. I really did. I actually like the one-day format. I don't think they'll go to that, you know, because All-Star Weekend is a thing. And it's just, you know, they spread it out over the whole weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But I enjoyed everything in one night. And I thought Steph Curry was a star. Steph Curry won the three-point shootout, got major love. I mean, Reggie Miller calling him the best shooter of all time, which means a lot coming from a Reggie Miller who played against and with Larry Bird, or for Larry Bird as a coach, and who himself, you know, some people might try to say he was the best shooter of all time. LeBron, I don't know if you saw that gushing tweet, Rob. Did you see LeBron's tweet about Steph after the game?
No, I saw LeBron's 4 points in 13 minutes. Go ahead.
LeBron gushed. Maybe only played 13 minutes or whatever it was because he wanted to watch Steph. But he said he was so thankful for finally playing on Steph's team. These were the hashtags, Rob, that LeBron put on his tweet for Steph. And I know this is eating up Rob G. Hashtag greatest shooter of all time. hashtag change the game by himself alone. Like LeBron was driving it home by himself alone. And hashtag respect beyond words. So, and then something like hashtag two kids from Akron, because Steph was born in Akron when his dad was playing with the Cavs. But, yeah, so good. And then obviously he had a great game. Could have been the MVP. A lot of people thought he should have won it. Dame Lillard certainly had a strong argument as well. But Giannis, I get it. I mean, 16 for 16. I know it was nine dunks and several other layups. And then
That's the NBA.
Well, that's my thing. Like Rob, the All-Star games are always a bunch of uncontested dunks and layups, but nobody's gone 16 for 16. You know? So
no, he should have been 16 for 16. If you can't win the MVP for being perfect. I mean, come on.
It's too hard to overlook. He didn't have the most impact. I thought that was Steph. And then late when it was out of hand, Dame went off. But it's just hard not to reward perfection like that. So anyway, Steph talked after the game, and here's what he said.
What fuels you? What more do you have to accomplish?
I have a lot to accomplish. I don't have anything to prove. There's a little subtle difference there. But what drives me is just having fun. I truly love to play basketball. I'm just appreciative and grateful that it's at the highest level, and I get to kind of still pursue a higher level of excellence on the court, because we all know, our careers have a finite window, and you never know when the basketball gods, if you will tell you to hang them up. So as long as I feel healthy and strong and able to keep doing what I'm doing, the joy naturally comes out, and that fuels everything. With my teammates, with, that season-to-season grind, chasing championships and all that. I just love it.
Well, the meaty part of that quote, of course, was, I have a lot left to accomplish, but nothing to prove. And I think he was saying that purposely. Like, I don't have anything to prove, but I got a lot left to accomplish. Your thoughts, Rob?
He wouldn't have to mention that if he didn't know that there are people who still question him. Why would you even put that in? I don't have anything to prove. Well, nobody asked you that. That wasn't even what the question she asked. She asked about what else do you feel like you want to accomplish or something. That was the question. I didn't hear anything about having to prove anything. That's because deep down, he knows that there are people who probably don't buy in all the way that he's that guy that people talk about, who hasn't won an MVP in the finals, who also choked down a 3-1 lead. It had never happened in the NBA finals. A guy that when Kevin Durant showed up, took over his team like he took his lunch money. So there's stuff that people look at. If you're one of those guys, transcendent players, nobody can come on your team and be bigger than you. No, I don't care. I don't care what they say. If you're truly a transcendent player, Kevin Durant can't overshadow you.
And
he dwarfed him. I'm just talking about a transcendent player.
How did he dwarf him?
They average about the same amount of
points. I'm asking you questions. So explain.
I'm just telling you, it's my opinion.
They average about the same amount of points.
The guy who won both finals MVPs and to me was the biggest part in them winning those 8 out of 9 playoff finals games was Kevin Durant to me. That's all.
Steph is right. And that's why I thought yesterday was so big, because there has been this narrative out there that some players don't respect him, or he's overrated and all that. That's why I thought the weekend was huge, because a lot of those people that, you saw stars of the game, transcendent players, as you said, Rob, giving him major love. Reggie Miller doesn't have to call Steph Curry the greatest shooter of all time, but he does. That's huge. The woman who interviewed him after the game, I can't think of her name, she called him the greatest shooter of all time. Now, I might not mean much coming from her, but it just shows that now they're throwing it out there. She's probably throwing it out there because of Reggie. Kenny Smith, who we all know knows the game, former player, and actually was clutch. We remember him with the Houston Rockets winning some of their championships. He said that, which I don't even agree with this statement, but for him to say during the three-point shootout that of all the guys in the league right now, the one that I would want taking the last shot is Steph Curry. That's huge. Again, he don't have to say that. LeBron James played with Giannis. He played with all these other superstars yesterday, and yet he sends out a tweet about Steph Curry. This is a guy who has lost championships to Steph. Three to be exact. Is it three? Three times Steph beat him in the finals. And yet he's giving him that kind of love. So I don't think Steph Curry has a darn thing to prove. We heard Shaq last week, which again, we disagreed with. But still, Shaq said he's had more influence than any other player of the last 30 years. So he gets mad respect. I mean, I don't know what, again, to me, nothing to prove. He's changed the game. He's won three championships. I think he's the best, quote unquote, small player of all time. And he's playing at the top of his game. Who knows how much longer he'll play. But he's absolutely right. He's got still stuff to accomplish, as does LeBron. And Tom Brady is feeling that way, even as he's won seven Super Bowls. So, you know, I thought he handled it very well. And if indeed there are the haters out there, which I'm sure there are, I thought he said maybe he was addressing them, and it's fine because I can't imagine what in the world he has left to prove.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
She is an NFL reporter, one of the best in the business. We worked with her back at the old place. She's got a new podcast that is terrific. You got to check it out. It's called Undefined with Josina Anderson. Josina, what is
What's
up?
What's happening?
Man, let me tell y'all, first of all, thank you for having me on the show, okay? I'm in my kitchen trying to make a crispy salmon. Okay, I'm trying to figure out why my I forgot to flip my chicken, trying to figure out what's going on in my damn pan, trying to make my quinoa and my brown rice, and then I come back to my computer, okay? And Dak Prescott want to secure the bag while I'm just trying to flip my salmon right.
Wow. Well, look, speaking of Dak, he did secure the bag. Now, Rob and I think it's great for Dak, obviously, but that Jerry Jones totally botched this thing and could have signed him a year or two ago for cheaper. But I see some reporters tweeting out that they think this is a good deal for both teams, or, you know, both sides. Where you land on this? Is it good for both sides? Win-win?
I definitely think that Dak Prescott is benefiting from it now in terms of waiting, kind of similar to what happened, although not to that same extent as Kirk Cousins. It's good for Jerry Jones in the sense that they're able to lower the salary cap hit for this year by adding those two extra voidable years. And so they, you know, get a cap savings, you know, by doing that. And also, by comparison to when they would have done this, I don't know, they've been working on this for, what, 3 years or however long. You know, the money has gone up since then. The pie has gone up, although the cap has come down a little bit from 198 last year to 180. But when you look at the fact that if even Dak is going to stay a Dallas Cowboy, the fact that he can come back, this deal runs through 2024, and get another bite at the apple, in contrast to a Pat Mahomes whose deal lasts through 2031, and assuming that the cap goes up in your basketball terms, Chris, this reminds me of the difference between what Carmelo Anthony used to do compared to what LeBron used to do when LeBron was getting those three-year deals and Carmelo was doing the 5 years, but obviously a bigger gap difference with Mahomes.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'll just say it is interesting, from what Mahomes got compared to Dak. What do you make of that? Mahomes only got $63 million guaranteed, and Dak got $126 million.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what happens also when you look at the length of Patrick Mahomes' deal, and then also the fact that, you know, this is an instance in where the franchise tag actually was the friend of the player, because last year the tag was at $31 million. Had he been attached with the tag for a quarterback, it would have been at $37.7 million. So for the people listening, to kind of break that down, what that means is that that would have been Dak's floor. That's the minimum he had to have gotten over a year. So you're not going to take anything less than that. So they had to give him above that. And also, knowing Todd France and the fact that he had the leverage in this situation, and you got to pay for the fact that my client had to sit up here and wait for his long money. You got him going year to year in a situation in which a worst-case scenario did happen. He got that ankle injury, and thankfully it wasn't like a Willis McGahee knee injury. So you got to pay for that. You made my dude wait. So now he got the bag on top of the bag and a little cushion and can come back and eat that apple in 3 years.
No, you're absolutely right. And obviously he's not the only quarterback whose future was in flux. Let's start in Seattle. You know, Dallas was one of the places that Russell Wilson threw out there. Didn't seem like that was realistic. But how do you see this thing ending this year? Does he start the season in Seattle, or do you think he'll be moved?
Well, here's the thing. As soon as Mark Rogers, who is Russell Wilson's agent, put that out, you know, the four teams that, well, it was always curious, the tweet, right, which it said, you know, Russell Wilson hasn't demanded a trade, but if he did,
we said that's like saying, I don't want to break up, but I want to date other people.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I won the lottery, you might find me in the Maldives, you know what I'm saying? Type thing. But as soon as that tweet came out, you know, I had reached to a source in Dallas, and matter of fact, we tweeted it before I came on your show, in which they said to me, quote, Dak is our quarterback, still working on getting something done. So you knew nothing was happening there. You know, in New Orleans, obviously, they're in cap hell. I've heard from the beginning how much they love Jameis Winston. Obviously, that's a smart move for Sean Payton in the sense that you had him there learning behind Drew Brees last year. And even though he's eligible for unrestricted free agency, you were going to get him at a premium saving to keep Jameis, a guy who threw that many touchdowns and hopefully will reduce his amount of interceptions. And then you're looking at the Raiders, in which, you know, the head coach, Jon Gruden, and the general manager, Mike Mayock, have, you know, continued to say they're behind Dak. So that really just leaves the Bears. But put all of that aside, guys, from, you know, up through this day, and I always say hashtag what they're saying up to today, I've heard from the beginning, we're not trading Russell Wilson. Now, things can change. Feelings can change. We'll see if Russell Wilson goes deeper into, you know, whatever funk. But, you know, the position that I've continued to hear is that they're not trading him.
That's, interesting. With just the way everything is played out. And the other one is in
Deshaun.
Deshaun Watson. What do you expect to happen there? What plays out there? Does he sit out? It doesn't sound like the Texans are really interested in moving him.
Well, here's the thing that I keep saying, you know, on Twitter, you know, so the players can see me say it. It's consistent. You know, I always want players to be happy, okay? But you also have to be objective as to what makes business sense. So my mantra continues to be, franchise quarterbacks do not grow on trees. If you have a top 10 guy, let alone a top 5 guy, with guys like Tom Brady showing that they can play into their 40s, you should not be giving that up, especially when the Texans have already given up every star on their team already. So if Deshaun Watson leaves, as a business, who are you touting on, you know, like one of them Atlanta NBA All-Star promo cards? So, who are you coming to the party for?
Right,
there's nobody there.
Right. The Texans have all the leverage in terms of his contract and all of that stuff. We know he'd have give back money, retire. I mean, do you see it getting that ugly? Like, we see all these reports that Deshaun is never going to play for them. Like, really be willing to forget sitting out? I mean, he'd have to retire, at least for a little while.
Well, here's the thing. Number one, okay, the Texans have the leverage because they have him under contract.
Right.
And even though Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause, that doesn't mean that the Texans have to trade.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You're under contract. So even as all this lathering was going on TweetDeck and talking about Deshaun Watson's position and all these other things, which I understand, if you have this ire towards the team, I understand that. But it doesn't mean that Nick Caserio, the new general manager, which we'll get to in a second, has to blink. Now, mentioning the new GM, he's come in there. He's trying to establish his tenure. He came over from the Patriots. You have to think, is the tone that he's trying to set, like, okay, you know, dudes just ruffled their feathers and I'm just going to, you know, get up and move?
Right.
You know, he doesn't want to open the floodgates. You know, those are things, I mean, he may very well do that, but I'm just saying that's something for him to consider in terms of how he's handling it to this point, which is why they haven't blinked or rarely, you know, really even engaged any team. So, you know, I had a source that was telling me from another team that they felt like Deshaun was going to have to sit out. We'll see if the draft deadline and free agency coming up here are important dates for the Texans, and how really willing they are to, you know, I don't know, I don't want to put the onions on the table, so to speak, and see how long they want to take it to in terms of, nah, because here's the thing, guys, and here's the last point on this. The more you get towards the season, the more the leverage shifts towards the team after the draft, if they indeed show that that's not important to them. You understand what I'm saying? Because then Dak is sitting there, and then now the fan base is like, okay, wait a minute.
Right.
We're going through a pandemic. People out of jobs. You sitting here with 100-plus. We got up a quarterback. What you doing, bro? You see what I'm saying?
I just need, real quick, clarification. Mm-hmm. The onions you're talking about, are those to go with the salmon or something else? No, I'm just kidding.
What'd you say? Do I got to go with it?
I said the onions you were talking about, do they go with the salmon or something else? All right, you got it.
Thank you. Those onions, I was talking about something else.
Great. It is great talking with you. We're going to hear from you. Often.
Yes,
definitely. Keep up the great work. You're doing great interviews, getting great guests. We're enjoying it.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good show.
All right, Josina. That's our friend from the old place, NFL reporter, host of Undefined with Josina Anderson. Make sure you check out her podcast.